more. Over to you, Ben.
Well, let's pray as we look at this psalm together. Our Father, we ask that you might use this time now to grow us up into the type of children you long for us to be. Amen. Well, as some of you know, my son Peter turns 2 tomorrow. Looking back at photos of Pete from when he was a baby, it's amazing to see how much he's grown and developed. In what seems like a flash, he's gone from crawling to running, from crying to talking, back to crying again. Although Pete is young, he nevertheless wants to do everything for himself. For instance, he growls and grumbles at me when I won't let him shut the front gate or when I insist on cleaning his teeth. Now, I expect this push for independence will only increase with his years. I was the same with my parents too. And as hard as it is for us as parents, we actually want our children to grow independent from us. Now, for many in our culture, independence is a sign of maturity. Think about the milestones we celebrate: getting your P plates, landing your first job, buying your first home. These are all seen by our culture as indicators of maturity, signs that a person is growing up. To put it another way, you're considered mature if you need other people less. But what if true maturity isn't about independence at all? Over the last few weeks, we as a church have been making our way through the Songs of Ascent. And now you may recall, there's a reason why these 15 psalms are called the Songs of Ascent. They were the psalms that were sung by Jewish pilgrims as they travelled up to Jerusalem for the triannual feasts of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. These psalms are songs for the road, songs that teach and show believers how we ought to live as we journey toward God. Now, one of the things that God is seeking to do in all of us as we make this journey along the road is bring us to maturity. But what does true maturity in a believer look like? Well, that's where Psalm 131 comes into the frame. See, in this prayer, this song, David actually offers us an example of what true spiritual maturity looks like. Clearly, David has done a lot of growing up by the time he wrote this psalm. That's how he describes his posture before the Lord in verse 1. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. In verse 1, David describes 3 refusals that he's making. Firstly, his heart is not lifted up. He's not choosing to put himself in a prideful or self-exalted position. Secondly, his eyes are not raised too high. He's not looking down his nose at others whom he thinks he's better than. Thirdly, he's not occupying his mind with things too great and too marvelous for him. He's not presuming to understand God's secret purposes, nor does he want to. David is choosing to be content with who God has made him to be. Instead of taking matters into his own hands all the time, he's opting to entrust his life to God. Even if God doesn't give him all the answers. These are the words of a mature believer, one who has done a lot of growing up. Now, David sought to live out the posture of this psalm in real life. I can't help but think of David's example in 1 Samuel chapter 24. Do you know the story? David is being hotly pursued by a jealous King Saul who wants the shepherd boy dead. Fearing for their lives, David and his band of merry men, they seek refuge from a raging Saul in a cave in the wilderness of En Gedi. While scouring the area, a hapless King Saul accidentally stumbles into that very cave where David and his men are hiding. Now, David's men, they couldn't believe his luck. God's delivered him into your hands, they said. Finish him off now. But to their astonishment, David doesn't. In fact, David replies by saying, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to King Saul, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing that Saul is the Lord's anointed." And instead of plunging his blade into Saul's torso, David stealthily cuts the corner of Saul's robe. In many ways, this moment in the cave shows us what Psalm 131 looks like in practice, at least in David's life. David refuses to seize control and instead trusts God to raise him up in his own time. When it comes to the details of God's plan, David didn't need to occupy himself with things too great and too marvelous for him. He just rested in God's providence. It's not like David would have been immune, however, from the temptation to act independently. After all, David had a lot of things going for him. He was handsome, powerful, a skilled warrior, a great lyricist. He would have certainly been tempted to be self-reliant and prideful. Nevertheless, he wasn't. Why? Well, I think the simple answer is because God had been maturing him. Look at verse 2. Instead of trusting in himself, David has calmed and quieted his soul. And did you notice the image that David uses to describe his calm state? Verse 2, says, "I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." It would be easy for us to assume that David's humble posture in verse 1 came naturally to him. It didn't, though. It came after a struggle. David says that he has calmed and quieted his soul, meaning there must have been a time when his soul wasn't calm and quiet. A period when he was tempted to exalt himself and take matters into his own hands. What's happened? Well, he's been weaned. That's to say, his relationship with the Lord has grown. After all, babies are not born weaned, are they? Weaning takes time. And that process can be difficult and confusing for a child. Nevertheless, a parent does it for the child's good, so that the child might grow. Through the circumstances and the struggles of life, God has been weaning David too. Weaning him off his self-reliance. Through this process, David has come to depend upon God, not his own abilities. He has found rest in God's arms. David is using this beautiful image of a weaned child in his mother's arms to illustrate what true spiritual maturity looks like. Ironically, a spiritual grown-up looks like a dependent child. This is because spiritual maturity, at least according to David's example, has nothing to do with independence or self-sufficiency. Instead, spiritual maturity means feeling one's dependence upon God and resting contently in God's presence. Psalm 131 is a testimony to this journey of maturity that God has been taking David on. But David understands that God also wants to take all of God's people on this same journey too. That's why he says in verse 3, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Why can Israel hope in the Lord? Well, because their God is David's God, and this God is trustworthy. And while they may not always understand God's ways, they can trust in God's tender care. He is a God who always wills the good for his people and who wants to see us grow. In his commentary on Psalm 131, the great Charles Spurgeon has a timely observation. He writes, Psalm 131 is one of the shortest to read, but one of the longest to learn. He's exactly right. See, this kind of humble, childlike trust that David models for us here does not come easily to us because it doesn't come naturally to us. We are all, by nature, self-sufficient and independent. This is not simply a new problem. It's a problem as old as the garden. Like Adam and Eve in Eden, you and I feel tempted to take the place of God all the time. We want control of our lives and the lives of those around us. We want to know everything all at once. Instead of submitting to our Creator, we're inclined to act like we are the creators of our own destinies. And while modern technology only makes this temptation even stronger for us today, never before in human history has humankind had so much power in our pockets. Never before have ordinary people had access to the amount of information that you and I have access to at our fingertips. Technology gives you and I the illusion of control and of power. With enough knowledge, enough innovation, enough power, we start to feel like we don't really need God. As humanity, quote-unquote, comes of age, as we mature, we outgrow our need for the divine. Mankind can stand on his own two feet. He doesn't need to lean on God anymore. But this is what sin at its heart is. Sin, writes the theologian Jeremy Treat, is substitution. The attempt to replace the divine king with the sovereign self so that individual desires reign, personal choice is the authority, and freedom is defined by independence. This is our predicament. Our sinful nature makes us crave independency from God. And perhaps this is why our culture's message that maturity means self-sufficiency is so appealing to us. In reality, though, we are not independent and self-sufficient beings. We are dependent creatures. We always have been, ever since the garden. In God, we live and move and have our being. True maturity, therefore, means realizing that we need God, like a child needs his or her mother. And this is the point that Jesus was making in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, that passage that I read out earlier this morning. The kingdom of heaven is composed of childlike citizens, children who know they need God for everything, and who are willing to trust God even when they don't understand everything. And when you think about it, Jesus himself demonstrated this kind of maturity throughout his earthly life too. Not only did Jesus depend upon his earthly mother for sustenance as a babe, not only was Jesus weaned by Mary, but he also depended upon his heavenly Father's power throughout his three decades of life. For instance, when speaking about the end of the world, Jesus chose not to occupy himself with things that were beyond him. Concerning that day and hour, he said, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. He did not concern himself with things too great and mysterious, but entrusted himself to the Father's will. Jesus' humble dependence is probably seen most clearly in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was there on the eve of his crucifixion that he calmed and quieted his soul and entrusted his future to his Father's purposes. Now, as we close this morning, I think it's worthwhile reflecting on the areas in your life where God might be maturing you today. To put it another way, how is God weaning you? Maybe through the aches and pains of aging, God is seeking to wean you off your self-sufficiency. He's teaching you that you were never meant to do it all by yourself. You were meant to rely on him and others too. Maybe through your unanswered questions and unanswered prayers, God is seeking to wean you off your need to know the answer to everything and is in fact teaching you that you can trust him, even when you are not privy to all the details. Maybe through your anxiety, God is seeking to wean you off your desire to control the outcome all the time and is trying to teach you that you can trust his plan, even when things don't go according to your plans. So the good news is that God is trying to mature you. But maturity means becoming more dependent, not less dependent, on God. In 1922, F. Scott Fitzgerald published a short story entitled The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. the fictional tale, which was later adapted into a movie starring Brad Pitt, revolves around the life of a man with an unusual medical condition. As a baby, Benjamin Button was born with the physical appearance and ailments of an old man. However, as Benjamin grows older, his body gradually grows younger. While everyone around him is aging, Benjamin becomes more youthful. Towards the end of his life, Benjamin becomes a child, then an infant. And finally, he dies as a babe. While the story is fictional, I think it serves as a great illustration of what the journey of Christian maturity looks like. As we grow and mature in Christ, we actually become more and more childlike. At the beginning of the sermon, I told you about Peter learning or wanting to do everything by himself. And that's part of growing up in the world. But in God's kingdom, maturity looks very different. The world might teach us that maturity means standing on our own two feet. David in Psalm 131 teaches us that maturity means learning to rest in God's arms. God grows us up by growing us into children. And I guess this shouldn't surprise us because we are his children after all. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks that you care for us, your children. Indeed, you care for us so much that you will not let us live under the false impression that we can do everything all by ourselves. Indeed, even now, you are weaning us, maturing us, and making us realize that we need you far more than we recognize. And so, Lord, we pray that you might continue to grow us up by growing us evermore into your children. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.